Denise, you go again on core inventories, an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, in agenda paper 8, we analyzed the comments received on, again, on another tentative agenda decision regarding the accounting for core inventories. We received 4 responses. 2 of them agree with the tentative agenda decision for the reasons set out in it. Another respondent thinks that the main reason set out by the Interpretations Committee for issuing an agenda decision should be instead that the issue is too broad and not the fact that there is no diversity in practice within the same industry. The 4th respondent, who is the original submitter of this issue, disagrees with the decision to remove this issue from its agenda because diversity in practice exists in the accounting for core inventories. We provided staff analysis and on the basis of what we understood at the discussions held at the July 2014 meeting, of which we reflect a summary in paragraphs 15 and to 17 of this paper, we recommend that the agenda decision should be finalized, but only by including some proposed edits to reflect that the main reason for issuing this agenda decision is that the issue is too broad, as one of the respondents has suggested. So we are asking whether you agree with this proposal.
Just an observation. This one, viewed from outside, we're saying that the issue of deciding the difference between an inventory and a fixed asset is too broad. Are we comfortable saying that? Or is there another way to articulate the rationale? Because I've had some feedback on this one of people saying, 2 or 3 calls of people saying, you've got to be kidding. So, John?
Well, as I said in July, I disagree with not taking this on the agenda. I think we should be taking this on the agenda, and I agree with the comments of ESMA in response to the tentative agenda decision. I don't see any reason why we should not be putting this on the agenda.
Bruce?
Exactly the same. In July, I was the same. I was one of the people who was opposed to taking this off the agenda. I think it is now. I think we should take it on. And having read the comments, I don't know why we are taking it off. And I think as evidence to that, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I think the reason we're putting it on here is not going to hold up. I think we're saying what's too broad a scope project, and yet it's quite narrowly defined in terms of what we want to look at. I think we should relook at that.
Marie, I bet I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I mean, we understand that it might be different fact pattern, but what we have at the moment is that the issue is too broad. We don't think the issue is so broad, and if it's a different fact pattern, I think you should investigate more to see exactly what is the difference and why in that case it leads to a different accounting, because we feel not so comfortable with the new drafting agenda, as well as.
I think that's what we could do.
Pardon?
I think we could do follow the route that Marie was suggesting in terms of probing some of these differences between different industries to bottom out more why there are differences between them. I know at the last meeting, some of the committee members said they felt that it was reflective of the differences between the industries, but I think we could look at that in a bit more detail.
Andrew?
You know, I was happy with the tentative decision, I have to say. I didn't really feel a burning need to add this to the agenda. I think the Australian board have got a good point in principle. It shouldn't be really a precedent that's consistency within industries, but possible diversity between industries is kind of okay. It's not okay. But I think in this area, in practice, you know, I feel it probably is okay. I think people are making comparisons in this area of entities within particular industries. And I just don't think to have a strong demand for an interpretation in this area. I think there can be some judgment and some disclosure, but that's okay.
Tony?
In much the same place as Andrew, I think I'm comfortable with the agenda decision, subject to perhaps a drafting comment. At the moment it says receive informal consultations with ISB members, the proposed scope of core inventories. I'm not sure what the scope of core inventories actually means. So I wondered if the drafting might be tidied up, but otherwise I was comfortable going ahead with the staff recommendation.
Reinhardt and then Laurence.
I'm very much in the same spot as Tony and Andrew. I'm happy with the proposed agenda decision. I think as we, based on some of the internal discussions we've had, we will find that the reasons for the differences between industry is because of the very specific fact patterns. And I'm just concerned that as we go down to try to articulate that, we're going to get some very detailed discussions on very industry-specific areas. So I'm happy with this agenda decision.
Okay, that would perhaps, I'm just thinking a minute. Then perhaps the reference in the agenda decision to a broader scope project is inaccurate. More intensive, more detailed, more in depth, but still the same question. Martin, Laurence, and Charlotte.
It would be if you say, okay, we do not have it on the agenda, and we are aware that there might be different, say, behaviors across industries, that we would, well, ask for more disclosure, or at least expect that it is made absolutely clear what is done and why.
Always a fair point. Laurence, Charlotte, and then the phones.
I was more comfortable with the previous drafting as published in IFRIC update, the prior IFRIC update. I understand the concerns of those who say too broad a project. I'm not convinced. We already spent a couple of meetings discussing this topic. We realize that indeed there is no diversity within certain types of industries. We were struggling going for an interpretation amendment and finding the how we could frame and improve for distinguishing whether it is inventory or PP&E, because indeed within each industry the situation is different. So I was not offended by the fact that we were just mentioning no diversity within an industry. Perhaps what we didn't investigate enough is whether the fact that you may have differences between industries is linked to the fact that the fact patterns are different, and it may well be justified.
That still isn't a broader scope project, it's a more detailed analysis.
Yeah, it's more detailed analysis.
Charlotte?
I think I have a similar question. Well, my question is really, I have no evidence that the diversity between industries is caused by a difference in fact pattern. I could take people's word for it, but it may just be tradition, that's the norm there, and it may actually have exactly the same fact patterns, in which case it is a diversity that should be addressed. It may not be a burning issue to anyone. But I would think I would like to understand if that diversity is based on facts and circumstances rather than just arbitrary.
Okay. On the phones, Fei Long.
I'm okay with the current revised agenda decision wording.
Sandy?
I was more in the ESMA camp in the last meeting. I think Charlotte makes a good point, though, about the genesis of the industry differences. So
where are you on the topic?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, let me see if I can ask some questions that may tease that out then. Question one. Do we do more work? do we stop? How many in favor of doing more work? The work being designed to better articulate the specific differences and the characteristics of those differences. So it would be evidence gathering. Who would favor that approach? Four in the room. Fei Long?
I'm
in favor of that. Sandy?
Yeah, I'm in favor of that.
Okay, that's a tie.
6 out of 14.
Oh, 6 out of 14. So who wants to just stop, and then we'll get into the explanation of why we stopped. Who wants to stop?
Eight.
Okay.
Plus
Fei Long, he said stop? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I counted him the other way. All right. So we stop. May I make a proposal that we explain our reason not in terms of the scope of the project, but in terms of the amount of work involved and our anticipation of the payoff? That we think it would require significant additional work, and it's not clear that the work would produce anything. I'm not sure exactly how to phrase that, but it's a cost-benefit trade-off. And the costs and the benefits are in terms of costs and benefits to the committee. Who would object to us incorporating that kind of wording? The two guys who want to keep it on the agenda. Bruce.
I was just going to say, it's not necessarily on this project. I get concerned about
us actually saying that as a principle. We're saying basically that, you know, sorry guys, we think this is too much work. I mean, I think we need to, you know, we need to work through the kind of agenda decision process we go through. Is there diversity or whatever? So if we can't tick off the boxes, I don't think we follow due process as a committee. And to say it's too much work, I don't remember seeing anything there saying, well, because this is too much work, we're not going to do it. I think, as much as I accept, I mean, it seems that John and myself are completely in the minority. Fine, if we're going to take it off, I think we need to articulate our reasons to why we take it off.
I was inarticulate. I think I, specifically looking at the agenda criteria, there is a point there about the amount of investment of IFRIC resources and whether or not they can be better put someplace else. I forget the precise words. But whether it can be resolved in a reasonable amount of time with
that's different
with
too.
Available resources.
Yeah, I've seen that slightly differently too. We think this is too much work. To me that's more of a, you know, we just don't think we can get to an answer on that. I think this we could get to an answer on.
But this is, again, I don't want to re-argue this. My concern is saying this is too broad a scope is wrong. Because we know what the scope is it IAS 2 or IAS 16? There must be other reasons why we don't think that the problem is susceptible to resolution, which we ought to articulate.
You didn't think there was a problem because it wasn't there wasn't diversity within the industry, and that diversity across industries isn't considered a problem. That seemed to be what.
Well, that's what we said last time.
Well, I don't think we said that in the.
And
we
I thought
said
we
lack
dropped
of diversity.
That.
Maybe we need to expand.
No,
we did say that.
I'd rather have. I mean, if you're going to reject it, which I don't necessarily support, I'd rather have it rejected on the diversity grounds, which I think is the reason people are. Rejecting it.
Yes, we said that there was diversity between industries, yeah. But we didn't explain the rationale behind that, which was that it was understood there were differences in the circumstances between those industries, which then justified there being a difference.
There's no diversity in the actual principles that are being applied, what we're saying.
Or that we didn't identify any.
Or the so.
Okay. Regulator preference, Jane?
Not sure how much I want to say, it's because it's your process, but
I'm a little troubled. I think we're troubled that there's diversity between industries. Clearly, people are interpreting this differently. And I do understand there's a large volume of work if you were trying to grasp intelligence on all of the industries. But maybe there's a smaller step you could take and get some intelligence on a few industries, some which we know have differences from, you know, one method to the other.
In my informal way, I may have driven you to an inappropriate conclusion.
No, we had discussed internally that there is kind of a cost benefit here. It seems as though this you could get lost in the details of this issue, but it feels like you need to understand. Somebody needs to understand why there's some diversity here, and I'm not sure if everybody understands that right now. That's just an idea of a path.
Okay.
Might get you someplace other than just dropping it now when you've got some people that are pretty vocal about the diversity without taking on the whole project.
Charlotte, did you say everything you wanted to say?
Perhaps it's more a case of differences in accounting between industries rather than diversity between industries, because if we're saying that there's differences in accounting to reflect different circumstances, then that doesn't necessarily mean it's diversity.
Alan, last call.
It's probably just very similar words. And see, I worry about the word diversity because that implies very similar fact patterns get different outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we don't know is whether there are differences in underlying economics give quite legitimate outcomes. We just haven't got enough evidence to say that we have got diversity. And so there may be some wording in here. It's almost, instead of saying light of additional analysis, it's basically in the absence of specific cases where there clearly is diversity amongst similar conditions or something like that, then they decided not to take it on. What that does is it leaves it slightly open that if we do find or people provide us with evidence that there are such, you look at two industries, absolutely the same, but they come up with different answers, then there's scope to come back to it if we have. But we have looked, we've asked people, we really haven't got really good fact patterns that trouble us to say that these are economically identical with different outcomes.
Okay, so Alan's proposal, pretty good, would be to say in the absence of evidence to the contrary, that the observed differences are in fact differences in the application of principles to similar situations.
I don't think we go quite that far. It's just we haven't got any cases that they would, we could not find or were not given cases where it was clear that similar economics would have been accounted for in different ways. I think it's
That would give us an opening. Say, hey, we do have.
Yeah.
All right. Does anyone object to wording along those lines? Other than the guys who want to do the project, yeah. But
I object to wording along those lines.
We have a basis for making those comments. We have submission has been made to us. If we haven't done enough analysis, it's our obligation.
We lost.
To do some further analysis. I don't understand why this has been taken off the agenda when we haven't done that analysis.
So we just spent 10 minutes trying to find a reason why we're taking this off the agenda, and I still don't think we've got one. I mean, if that isn't evidence that we've got a bit of a challenge, I don't know what is.
Do the pleas before sentencing persuade anyone to change their view? Okay. We're going to go with the last thing we heard, which was Alan's proposal. I'm going to ask Alan to work with Denise, and you all will see the revised wording when you look at update. Okay? Zero. Agenda paper 9.
Yes. Thank you, Wayne. So the next agenda paper is agenda paper 9, the accounting for net proceeds and cost of testing on property, plant, and equipment. At the July 2014 meeting, the Interpretations Committee discussed a request to clarify accounting for the net proceeds from selling items produced while bringing the asset of property, plant, and equipment to the location and condition necessary for it to be capable of operating in the manner intended by management. The submitter has asked whether the amount by which the net proceeds exceed the cost of testing should be recognized in profit or loss or as a deduction of the cost of the PPE. The Interpretations Committee discussed this issue in July and issued a tentative agenda decision on the basis that excess proceeds should be recognized in profit or loss. We have received 9 comment letters on the tentative agenda decisions, and the majority of the respondents were concerned about the implication of the agenda decision for the extractive industry and other certain industries. Those respondents noted that it is common practice in those industries to credit net proceeds in excess of the cost of testing to the asset under construction. Accordingly, a number of practical issues were raised in the comment letters. In response to the comments raised, we recommend that the Interpretations Committee should add this item to its agenda to analyze the issue further. And based on the comments received, we've listed like certain issues we will analyze going forward. For example, what costs qualify as a cost of testing, or disclosure on proceeds deducted from assets. And so the question is, the committee members are comfortable with going forward the project. Thank you.
So this would be reversing our previous decision.
Exactly.
And clarifying IAS 16.
Yes.
And potentially IFRS 15.
That's possible.
Bonnie?
I did agree with the staff recommendation to continue the analysis. I guess one maybe point that I read maybe a little bit differently in the staff analysis is in paragraph 20, where they're analyzing when is the asset available for use, and interpreting paragraph 20A of IAS 16, where it talks about the costs incurred while an item is capable of being operated, blah, 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 is operated at less than full capacity. I guess when I read that, I read it as it's at its intended use, but it's operating at less than full capacity because full capacity isn't needed for the amount of goods that the company would be producing, not kind of how it's interpreted on the previous page as something at less than full capacity is not yet to its full use. So I just want to be careful there with when we think an asset is available for use based on management's intention, because I read those two things very, very differently. And if we're using them to support our view on when an asset is available for use, we just need to be very careful. So I don't know if anybody else read that same thing, but that was what struck me a little bit there.
Thank you.
Valid point, and we'll take that up. Andrew?
Well, I certainly agree not to finalize the tentative decision as it was drafted. I'm okay to take this on to the agenda. If we do that, I'd just question whether the focus should be quite so narrowly on the testing phase. So I think, especially in the extractive sector, that rather, to me, misses the bigger point, which is about income generated as a consequence of activities that are necessary to bring the asset into its present location and condition. And in some of these sectors, there might be a reasonably clearly defined testing phase. In others, there isn't. So I think narrowing it down to the testing phase is going to be too narrow and also put an awful lot of pressure on the definition of testing.
Actually, Andrew, our third bullet point on paragraph 32 of the paper was suggesting that we look broader than just the testing, but look at other proceeds received that are related to the asset prior to that the asset being ready for its intended use. So we were thinking of approaching it in a broader way.
Oh, good. If I didn't focus on that, my apologies, but no, that's the right way to go.
Fair point. Laurent?
I think that the whole issue is actually one, as Bonnie expressed it, that is to determine when is an asset available for use in the way intended by management. So that's the key question to investigate. And from the comments we receive, I mean, we hear a lot of people saying, well, hold on, we consider that the asset is not yet available for use in the way the management intends, and so everything is part of the cost of the asset, even if it is as a deduction of the cost of the asset. If it is after, then it should go as income. And I can follow that route. But I do recall that we had some previous questions at IFRIC where asking us to consider also the unit of account with for PP&E, whether you distinguish components or whether you look at the PP&E as a whole to assess whether it is available for use in the way intended by management, and we decided to not to address that issue, and so I'm afraid that we may run into similar types of issue. I am just afraid that, you know, going through cost of testing, what costs qualify as cost of testing and so on, it's getting into too much detail. IFRS are principle based at some stage, so how far into details do we want to go? I agree that the decision we published should not be finalized, because anyway I was against it. But I do believe that the key issue that is being faced is identifying whether an asset is available for use in the way intended by management. And that's the trigger point.
And people have told us that it's not clear.
But then it's not the question that's listed in the staff recommendation. There is only one question then that should be investigated further. When do we consider that an asset is available for use in the way intended by management?
Which I, just to clarify my understanding, going back to Bonnie's point, I build a car factory. My intended use is to produce 100,000 vehicles a month, 10,000 vehicles a month. I only have a market for 5,000. Do I say it's not ready for its intended use because I only have a market for 5? Of course not. Bonnie is agreeing with me. But I think the context in which the submitter put this issue to us had a flavor of that, of people stretching out a testing phase way beyond what others would say was the point at which the asset was ready for use. So I think some of this is around the question we were asked. Bonnie, you are on point on this, sir.
I've read that a little bit differently. I wanted to make sure that we weren't misinterpreting paragraph 20A of IS 16, which I think, in my view, it was in the staff's conclusion in paragraph 20 of the agenda paper.
Okay.
So I guess in the auto industry, when you do build a plant, there is obviously some testing phase, but when the equipment is put into use and production is actually rolling off, whether or not we intend to build X number, Y number, or Z number, once we can start producing on that piece of equipment, that's when it goes into service and that's when we start capitalization. So if your specific point is coming out, and maybe I just missed it, and when somebody's determining when the asset is available for use, to me that's not following the IFRS standard, which I don't think is the intent of what we're trying to do here. I think the intent is to really address the questions, which I agree with those questions. I in particular wanted to make sure that what we're talking about doesn't inadvertently interpret paragraph 20A as something other than what I read it as intended to be.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
That was my point.
Okay, Laurence, let's press this on. I think we're beating it up. Martin?
Yeah, for me, the question really is what is related to testing, and I could imagine two cases. One is to arrive at a specific quality assurance for my products. So that means in testing phase, if I would have an output, I only could give a kind of limited guarantee for these products when I am in my testing phase. The other possibility would be that I have to get certain regulatory approvals. So that means for the outcome, I have no real regulatory approval. However, I might be able to sell these products due to the fact that more or less it is a kind of commodity or whatever. And in any other case, I would assume I would be out of testing. So I could not really say, well, I have a theoretical production volume of 100, and now I'm only intend to produce 6. However, I could produce more. I would have the regulatory permission to do so, and so on. I would be out of testing. A related question would be, we are talking here about IS 16. What is with IS 38. So if I have a clear rule and a clear interpretation on this issue, I would bet that the next guys came with the question, and what is on IS 38?
Would you ever get a different answer under 38?
That's the question.
I wouldn't have thought.
We are very specific here. We are currently only answering IS 16. Not IRS 16 in combination with also IRS 38. So it could be worth to consider if we really want to go for an interpretation.
Fair point. Bruce?
Yeah, I just want to say I agree with the STARS recommendation. I mean, this is obviously an issue in our region, especially obviously in some of the extractive industries. I think a lot of it's already been articulated. I was one of the people also didn't agree with taking this off the agenda, so I'm glad to see that it's being proposed to be brought back on.
Okay, I show John, Mikkel, Tony, Reinhardt.
I agree with staff recommendation to add the item to the agenda. I do question if there's much merit in just addressing items B to E and not addressing A, because in my experience in the extractive industries, the real issue is there's less diversity about the accounting for sales proceeds during the development stage than there is actually the determination of when the asset is available for use. And the reason is because there's an integration of production and development activities. So there are elements to this issue very similar to IFRIC 20, which may be good or bad, but there's elements of the same activity giving rise to production as well as giving rise to an asset. So available for use, the difficulty with available for use is it's a very difficult concept where you have integrated production and development activities. When is the asset really available for use in a complex development process? And there's really a lack of disclosure of information of amounts that are credited to the cost of the asset prior to the asset being made available for use. So I would agree with the recommendation to add the item to the agenda, but I would extend some of the outreach to seek input on the question of available for use.
Mikkel?
Yes, I would actually think that we should stick with the previous decision proposal, which I maybe have not heard on. And in my mind, it is in itself that testing is something that is not material relating to the asset value or to the operation. And if it would be material to those circumstances, I would assume that this machine investment or whatever is available for use. So in my mind, we are now discussing that we have comment from one industry that has certain problems with this. But I mean, the general conclusion, I think, is correct, as we have pointed out. And then we should have principle-based standards. And then, of course, this industry has to see, okay, how are their facts and circumstances in that industry. instead of spending a lot of time to try to identify all these kind of issues, because I mean obviously there will be new issues popping up in other industries than if you come to some kind of other conclusion. So I think we should stick with the proposal that we're making.
Tony?
I think I'm comfortable with where the staff has got to. My sense is there's probably not an enormous amount of diversity in the treatment of proceeds. There may be more diversity, as several people have said, in deciding when an asset is ready for its intended use. And I think my concern with the previous agenda decision was that it came to a definitive conclusion that I think is inconsistent with the way most people have read the standard. And so I think I probably shared the concerns of the people that wrote in with the fact that we were giving a definitive answer. As I say, I'm not sure there's a huge amount of diversity around that question. So I'm comfortable with where the staff has got to in the context of taking it onto the agenda and doing some more outreach. I think it's very difficult to separate the question of what to do with the credit from what the related debits are and whether or not the asset is ready for use. I think all of those things have to be considered together as part of the analysis because they're all interrelated.
Okay. Reinhardt?
My comments are very similar to the ones that Tony just made, that I think when the asset is available for use is an integral part of the whole question, which leads me to my own personal perspective, which is that along the lines of the discussions we've had at other meetings and some of the members here today made, I'm not convinced that this has a significant impact on the result, that the significant diversity and that the amounts are material. And when I look at what the proposal is of the staff, it just seems like it's a very detailed set of steps that we're going to proceed down, and some potentially very detailed guidance. And I think, as some others have said, IS-16 has been around for a long time, and this seems like something where we're going to invest a lot of time developing very detailed guidance, where really, you know, maybe there's some principles we could address instead. So as I say, I if we take this on the agenda, I do think we need to consider at a minimum when the assets are available for use, and then look at where this leads as to whether we're getting into very specific detailed guidance that might be applicable for particular industries.
Okay, let's go to the phone. Fei Long?
About the diversity in practice in extractive industry, because extractive industry is a broad term. Could difference arise because of the type of mineral concern, difference in structure of ore body, or the method in which the mineral is extracted out of the ground seabed? Different industries do what they currently do for specific reasons, rather than having this IFRIT work on an area. Maybe a pragmatic view would be to agree that there is a diversity in practice, but for good business reasons, and issue an IFRIT rejection on this base. For the staff analysis for paragraph 17, you mentioned that you have identified two key judgments. I think for A, the judgment A, this is, might not be an area that the IFRIT would want to dabble into. It is so industry for B, as paragraph 17 starts off, there are judgments. If there is a judgment, rather than having IFRIT micromanaging it on behalf of the preparer, just let the preparers work it out themselves. And also for paragraph 25, you've mentioned that the issue is whether the excess of proceeds over cost of testing. Are we over complicating the issue by trying to find the net proceeds after deducting relevant costs? And what is the unit of account? Is it per sales transaction, or is per discrete period? And rather than let people jump through hopes for a very immature issue, could be much simpler if we just allow companies to deduct gross proceeds against the asset carry value until the asset is available for use. And also for the paragraph 27, and you're talking about the cost of constructing, however, the cost of constructing the shop and the removing the sentence. Immature issue, probably best related to the industry to apply their own judgment based on specific facts and circumstances. Also for paragraph 28, the submitter questioned whether any disclosure should be required for proceeds deducted from the asset. I think do we need to disclose for such an immature item? Just based on those reasons, I don't think it's a good idea to address the specific issue for specific industry.
Okay. Sandy?
I'm supportive of the issue being taken on. Actually, Fei Long touched on a point that I was thinking. I don't have a lot of transparency into the transparency to which the financial statements illustrate these things today. And that, I'd be curious about this. The degree to which it's immaterial, I don't know why we'd be taking it on, let alone making disclosures, but it seems like it's here because it's probably not immaterial. It seems like there's potential for earnings management, and I don't think there's probably not a lot of transparency associated with that, but it's hard to know that until you look a little more into it. So I'm for adding it and doing a little more homework.
Okay, Laurence, last call because it's your last meeting.
Thank you. I just want to point out that comment letter we did receive. I think that issue about when is an asset available for use in the way intended by management is relevant, and we have been talking about extractive industries, but the utilities companies are really affected by this. So if you, I understand that, is the leading, so if you continue doing some work on it, read that comment letter and perhaps liaise with that industry, because it was an industry letter, to understand better.
Carl, I really want to wrap this up, so please.
Transportation service concession arrangements has important have important issues in this topic.
Okay. I think the first issue for us to decide, or that I'm going to ask you to decide, is whether or not we reverse our previous position and ask the staff to do more work, to pursue guidance in a form yet to be defined. And I would ask you to consider that the staff has heard all of the suggestions about scope and approach, and that they will take those on in crafting the next step. So the first question I would put to you is, should there be a next step, or should we go back to the original agenda decision and say that this does not go on the agenda? So how many in favor of there being a next step? Okay, and on the phone I counted Fei Long as definitely a no, and Sandy is a yes. So there will be a next step. And I think the staff has heard a lot about how to craft that. Carl, I'd like your input specifically on the service concession piece of that.
And if I can just confirm, we heard from, I think, a number of you, we heard from a number of you that you wanted us to also be looking at the judgment that is required about when the asset is ready for intended use. So this wasn't in the original five bullets, but we will add that in because a number of you had raised that.
No, I considered that to be part of the guidance provided to the staff. All right, that's what we'll do. All right.